a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music, I will share it, but today I'm
gonna. What's up, world? What's up, Twitter? What's up, social media? What's up to all my podcast followers? No matter what the number is, I'm glad you check out the show. This is at Zeller Basement Media on Twitter. Zeller's Media on podcasts, and however or wherever you listen to this, Zeller's Media, Zeller's podcast, Facebook, all that stuff. I hope it's good. Hope life is great. Hope everything is wonderful in your world. Things is pretty good in my world. It's not all the time, but sometimes when things are good, you just got to take it and enjoy it. Because in this world that we live in, so many complications. Living under an administration that's ran by a clown. You gotta take the good with the bad. And he's offering more bad than good because he's a dick. But again, I hope life, I hope things are great in your world. This is my sixth podcast. Moving right along. I, Lee Zeller, moving right along. Your host. Your guy who brings you stuff that's on his mind and maybe on yours. Like, I don't know what's on your mind right now, but the rain is, like, on my mind here in Cincinnati, Ohio. We can't get enough of it. We need to ship some of this out to California. Because I know they be having fires out there. We need to, like, soak the soil. But I'm not in a position to tell God what to do. I'm the least person who's in a position to tell him what he should be doing. But from since Monday, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we've got rain. Friday, we got a break. Saturday, we got a little break. Sunday, right back at it. Today, at this time, 6:05, it is pouring down rain. You probably can hear it in the background. I don't know. You know, Donald, Trump, Agent Orange, Agent Provocateur, pimps, Trump's Putin's bitch, basically. He talks mad shit, how tough he is, what other administrations haven't done. He goes on and on. He loves to criticize the past President Obama. Do you remember that picture, though, when he first got to the White House and he sat there with Obama and he had that fucking look on his face like, oh my God, what the hell am I doing here? I don't know why they picked me. You remember that picture. You saw it. Because that shit was real. He don't know why they picked him. Because he wasn't supposed to be there. You know, he's quick to talk about how tough he is. And, you know, Obama didn't do this. Obama told Putin to just knock it off. Like, what is that? Yeah, we know you don't say that to Putin. Because basically you just come in the room and bend over. Drop the pants and bend over. But Iran the other day shot down one of U.S. military drones. They said it was over in the airspace. Probably was. I'm guessing. It could have been. Because sometimes, you know, we can have, like, if we don't like a certain person, a certain country, the regime or whatever, we want to change the regime, we have a way of, like, provoking shit. And it's so easy to say, you know, they shot down one of our drones in international airspace. How do we know? Do we got somebody there that was monitoring that shit? Is there somebody that can say, you know what, I was there, I had fucking equipment that could measure the shit, radar, that damn drone was in an international airspace, France, Germany, Australia, is there any country that was monitoring that shit that can vouch for that? Think not. So it's quick, it's easy to say, they drone, our drone, U.S. drone, with the flag and the U.S. symbol on the side of it, was in international airspace, and the damn Iranians shot it down. The damn drone cost $150 million. That's a lot of money. You know, I talked about that last on my last podcast about reparations. They gave, like, I think Japan, Japanese that was held in internment camps, like, I forgot, 1 point something billion. Gave the Sioux Indians, I believe, 100 and something million, 15 million or something like that. They had a drone that was shot down, cost 150 million. That 150 million could have been like reparation. That could have covered like every black person in this country. That one drone. How many taxpayers are upset? That's your money? You know, because damn, you damn sure don't want your money to go to no reparation. But your money went to that goddamn drone. Are you upset that the clown in chief haven't really done nothing? He kept talking about it. He broke away from the Iran, the deal that all these other nations that got together and did this deal with Iran. To basically like, hey, we're going to take it easy on your ass. We're going to lift some of these sanctions off you. We got your money tied up in banks, and that's where that money came from, where everybody tried to make a big deal about Obama giving them all of these billions of dollars. The money was on skid, shipped to them. That was their money. Money has been tied up in fucking banks because the United States has so much leverage. They can basically control your shit. When they talk sanctions and that kind of shit, you're a country over there. You ain't got a lot of money. Your gross national product maybe is, I don't know, 50 million, 100 million. And you banking with the World Bank. There's been a lot of ex-bankers, senators, congressmen, basically people in the U.S. government who have ran the global bank, the international bank. So when they cut your funds off, you're fucked. That's where your funds are at. You can't cut them off, but the U.S. can have your shit cut off. So basically, Obama, when they did the deal, he's like, hey, let them get their money. That's where the fucking money come to. It ain't come out. It's not your goddamn tax dollars. Quit crying, MAGA. But my thing is, he talks all of this tough shit. They shot down a U.S. drone. True, it was an unmanned drone, but it was a U.S. drone, cost $150 million. I know if I had $400 million and you took $150, you might have to die. Something. But the clown in charge, the clown who has access to the nuclear codes, he does nothing. He was quick to say, it was probably an accident. They probably didn't mean to do it. Got a little goofy over there. Maybe the turbine was on too tight. And then you're like, shoot that shit down. Accident. That's what your president, not mine, probably not for my listeners, but theirs, their president, haven't done anything. He talks mad shit. Going to deport 1 million aliens in this country. Gonna go down to Florida, we're gonna raid them in Florida, Atlanta, wherever, gonna get them out of here. That's what he said. Now he pulled back on that. See, the thing is, the clown in chief in charge, he don't want no war with Iran. It's the people around him, John Bolton, those hawks, who want regime change. They the one who wants war. They the ones who probably set up this whole drone thing. I'm pretty sure it's easy to like, hey, talk to somebody. You know, you got access, John Bolton. Hey, General, what I need for you to do is fly a drone over their airspace so they can shoot it down. We know they're going to do it. Because it was an unmanned drone. They shot it down. He was hoping that, yeah, right there, we do that, we shoot down. They shoot down with our drones, goddamn it, we're going to launch hell on their ass. Trump listened to the people from Fox News. They said it's a bad idea. The Fox News people. Carlton, the Carlton dude. This is the tough guy who's, you know, he's going to go in there and he's going to make shit right because Obama couldn't do it. He ain't going to do shit. Talk like he normally do. Bunch of talk. Fake. He always talking about fake news. No, you're fake. You're an actor. Playing a president, and you're doing a poor job at it. as I sit here at 6:15, sipping on some Jack Daniels. There's nothing wrong with that. You might need some Jack Daniels in your life. Like I said, we're living under this clown administration. Some of us is feeling the heat and just sick and tired of this shit. So get you a glass of Jack. But before you go get that, because I'm pretty sure none of you people that's listening, I don't have none of those MAGA folks listening. But just in case I do, and some of you MAGA folks, you know, good old boys, love you some Jack Daniels, boy. Go get that damn Jack. Did you know Jack Daniels was created by a black man? Yeah, damn it. No, he didn't say that. Yes, I did. Some of you may be not aware of that. But Jack Daniels was created by a blackie, a darkie. That's what they called him back then. Goddamn nigger. No, he had nothing to do with my favorite drink. I just know that, goddamn, I will not drink this shit. I will take the goddamn case I got in the basement and pour this shit down the drain if this shit is right. You know that's what they're saying. You have to check out this story. The black man who created Jack Daniels whiskey. A new book and movie coming soon. Google it, you'll find it. It's the truth. The family, the Jack Daniel family, who recognized this, who've been knowing this story. Yeah, you gotta ask, why come they never talked about it before? It's just kind of getting out. A lot of people just now begin to find out about this. But the family have acknowledged it. They will admit it. Yes. It was a darkie. Coon, whatever you want to call him back then, came up with the way to, I guess, some of the ingredients of how to make the Jack Daniel liquor the Jack Daniel liquor it is today. Drink up, Mega. That whiskey you enjoying, right there, that right there, made by a guy who looks like me. Sorry. Now what you're going to do, I guess you're going to go pour your Jack Daniels out like you went and burned your Nike shoes because of Colin Kaepernick. Dumb. Just fucking dumb. But what do you expect? These are the people that voted for this idiot in office. The Democrats. What can we say about the Democrats? They have a real issue. I think the Democrats have a real issue. And the issue with them is, I think, you have a guy like Joe Biden, who is right now the front runner, who probably will end up being the nominee. But when you're running for office, like a lot of them, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, however you want to call them that. They also want that position too. So, of course, they're going to shoot shade at the front runner, which is Joe Biden. But sometimes Joe Biden might, like, some of the shit that he says could be that some of the shade that gets shot his way, he's deserving of it. Because Joe is old. And old people sometimes say shit that they probably shouldn't. Yeah, because like when you get up a certain age, sometimes shit just come out your mouth. And you don't even thinking about it. You just say it. Because your brain is not functioning like it was when you was like 40. It's a 70-something year old brain. It's an old model. And Joe is that old model. So Joe have a tendency to like say some shit. And then later, it might come back and he might think like, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Because again, he's an old guy. And should he be forgiven because he's an old guy? Because some of the stuff he says? I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But the Democrats been blasting. Because today, After former Vice President Joe Biden recalled his civil and productive working relationships decades ago with two longtime segregationist and racist fellow lawmakers, fellow Democrats are pouncing. Because Joe, you know, he said, "I was in the caucus with James Eastland," Biden said, according to a poor report. "He ain't never called me no boy." Well, yeah, Joe, he wouldn't call you a boy because usually that was a term used to black men to make them feel less than what they were. So, no, he wouldn't call you a boy. Well, guess what? At least there was some civility, Biden said, also pointing to a working relationship he forged with Georgia Senator Herman, I can't pronounce his last guy's name, Herman, whatever. He's not that important because he was a segregationist, a racist. I don't care about his last name. "We got things done. We didn't agree on much of anything. We got things done. We got it finished. But today you look at the other side and you're the enemy. Not the opposition, the enemy. We don't talk to each other." That's what Biden said. The problem with this Eastland guy is like he's trying to say, okay, yeah, these guys was racist. I work with them. They never called me boy. Again, they wouldn't call you a boy because you're a white guy. You look like them. That was a dumb thing to say. But like I said, he's working with an old brain. The brain is fucking 70-something years old. That shit is not sharp like it used to be. You can look at Joe. Trump, our clown in chief, he always makes jokes about calling him Sleepy Joe. He don't like he's sleepy, but he looks tired. But he is the white dude it's going to take to beat the other white dude in the office. So we got to go with him. At the height of Reverend Martin Luther King's Jr. landmark Montgomery bus boycott, Eastland told a segregationist rally that in every stage of the bus boycott, he had been oppressed and degraded because of black, slimy, juicy, unbearable, stinking niggers. According to Robert Caro, master of the Senate, Eastland went on to urge the crowd to abolish the Negro race with guns, bows, arrows, slingshot knives, whatever the fuck you can get your hand on. Kill these damn niggers. That's the guy Joe Biden used to work with. That's how he thought. That's what he said. That's how he spoke. And Joe said, but he never called me boy. So, for black voters, we got to weigh all this shit. Damn. Goddamn, Joe. He didn't say that shit. You're about the only guy who probably can beat this asshole in office. You keep putting your fucking foot in your mouth. Stop it. Just stop it. There's this video on Facebook. I can't think of the name of it, what it's called. But it's basically this. There's this cop. He runs up in this guy's driveway. I think the guy was out there playing basketball with his kid or some shit like that. He's on his property, up in his yard. This cop comes up there, want to question him, ask him who he is because he's looking for somebody. And he says, "You look like that guy." So there's like this little argument, this kind of, you know, back and forth, getting kind of physical. Cop kind of grabbed the guy on the arm. The guy's like, "Man, I ain't gonna show you shit. I ain't gonna prove shit to you. This is my house." His wife is standing right there in the garage. The garage is open. The wife is in the inside of the garage. She said, "Let go of my husband. That he's not who you're talking about. Who you looking for? That's not him. He lives here." The cop is saying, "I don't know." Basically, this cop was driving down the street, saw this black guy out front, nice neighborhood, playing basketball with his kids, and said, "He got to be the guy." He ran up in his driveway, put hands on him. Fucking dumb. Just dumb. I mean, I think this guy who they was looking for was out of state. Chance of him, like, being in the front yard, playing basketball, hanging out, whatever, it's a good chance that wasn't him. But you chose to run up there and harass this guy. That could have went horribly, horribly fucking wrong if you'd have ran up on the wrong brother. Because, first of all, you're up on my property. My wife is there. You've upset her. She's standing inside the garage, scared to come out. Because we know a lot of times when a white man come in contact with a black, especially a white police officer, come in contact with a black man and they get physical, there's usually t-shirts made up that says, "Rest in peace to so-and-so." Or some flowers set there at the curb. Paying respect. for another brother who went down over some bullshit. Here this cop got the balls to come up there at somebody's property. They got the garage door open. You're by yourself. You insist on this is the guy. I don't know why that how you figure that out. But yet you're not thinking, what if this guy just dropped hands on me, knocked me the fuck out and dragged me inside the garage and take me in the basement and close the door and I'm never seen again? Because maybe that shit could have happened. Maybe it should have happened. I mean, you that ballsy that you're going to do something like that. But you know, they feel like that. Because when the guy finally showed his ID after the second officer arrived, then they backed off. Show me your papers. That can happen to you anywhere. Show me your papers in your front yard playing basketball. But like I said, been a different type of brother, different type of black man. The results could have been horribly bad. Because you could have got knocked the fuck out, dragged inside, garage door closed, drove the police car around the corner somewhere and parked it and came back and then said, now, Mr. Police Officer motherfucker, do you feel confident in what you just did running up on me like that? Because you're in a fucked up spot right now. I think not. These vape pens. Sorry, Jack Daniels. I told you I was drinking. The vape pens, put them down. I don't give a damn if they say, who are you to like criticize our product by telling people to put the pens down? Well, I'm telling you to put the goddamn pens down before they fucking break your jaw. If you like your grill, you might want to put down the goddamn vape pens. The vape pens are exploding. Google search it. If you don't believe me, vape pens explosions. Vape pen break man's jaw. Google search it. Goddamn things. You got this charger, this battery, with this gas shit going on. You got this thing right up to your goddamn mouth. And it's burning some shit without fire. Things have been blowing up. There's video footage of people have lost their life, been disfigured, third degree burns, car crashes. This shit is not safe. But somebody's making millions and millions of dollars off of this shit. And you putting your life at hand by smoking one. I don't know, maybe you just need to pick up an old pack of Cool cigarettes, Salem's or whatever. Hey, if you smoke, you smoke. It's not healthy. It's not a good thing. But if you smoke, you smoke. I don't. Well, I smoke cigars. It's a little different, but not that different. There was this travel nightmare. I was trying to find this story. And somehow it's disappeared. Because that's how it happens. You be looking for something, then it's there, then it's go away. But I wanted to touch on it anyway. Because there had to be some scary shit. And I found it. No plaza needed. Ever had a nightmare in which you wake up at night alone, strapped in a seat, in a completely dark and freezing cold room with no means to contact anyone? How many of you have experienced that? I haven't. That's the story of a Canadian passenger. Tiffany Adam told about what was supposed to be a simple 90-minute flight from Quebec to Toronto. Maybe you could have drove. Adam, who has since been experiencing anxiety and insomnia. You gotta say that kind of stuff. You wanna get paid and they fucked over you, you gotta say shit like something, you got post-traumatic, some disorder, you wanna get the money. Because if you don't say that shit and the airline fucked you over, you're not gonna get nothing. So she gotta say that shit. She gotta say she's suffering from anxiety and insomnia. Wrote that she fell asleep in a row of seats on a nearby empty flight, and by the time she woke up, the plane had arrived at its destination and had been parked away from the nearest terminal. Her cell phone battery was depleted. You gotta have a little, get you those Family Dollar, like those backup batteries where you can charge them up. I got them. I got a couple of them. They're good to have. Her cell phone battery was depleted. Therefore, unless there was no power on the plane to recharge it, there was no power on the plane to recharge it. But the plane was turned off. No one else was on the pitch black plane. Adams made her way to the cockpit where she eventually found a flashlight. The light helped her figure out how to open the main exit door, but there was no gangway. So she's staring at what was appeared to be a 40 to 50 foot drop to escape. She focused the flashlight on the plane's exterior, hoping that the reflection might catch someone's attention. And in time, a driver of a luggage cart saw her and came to her rescue. Man, that was some scary shit. So imagine, you know, maybe you had a couple of drinks, the plane landed. It wasn't too many people on there. You felt comfortable. You got kind of relaxed, laid back there. Had you a couple shots of this Jack Daniels here. Maybe a black guy, but you didn't know it. But maybe you don't have no problem with that. You're probably one of the cool ones. And you wake up after having a couple drinks. Nobody even checked the seats to see if anybody was left on the plane. You was left there in the back, and they just forgot you. And then they cut the plane off. And maybe it's, I don't know, it could be 40 degrees outside, colder on the plane. You wake up, your battery's dead, because you didn't think to go to Family Dollar and get you one of those backup rechargeables. So your battery's dead, you can't charge your phone up, you're stuck. You go to open the door, there's a 50-foot drop. Maybe you're at an age, a physical ability, you're not really in shape, you know you couldn't handle that shit. Even if you'd have tried the hang drop, you know the hang drop where you would hang from your fingertips, that lowers your body a little bit closer to the ground. You probably been afraid to do that because you're like, you know what? Physically, I probably couldn't hang from my fingertips because either I'm too heavy, I'm just not strong enough, and my ankles could not absorb the impact. So you're stuck on a plane. See, sometimes there's situations that takes place, and you got to know how to take advantage of that opportunity. Me, if I'd have been stuck on the goddamn plane, I'm like, damn, fucking phone is not working. There's a 50-foot drop. I think myself, personally, I might could have handled it. I don't know. I think if I had a hang drop from my fingertips, that would have lowered me close enough. See, 50 feet, that drops off close to maybe about 10. Now I got a 40-foot drop. I think I could have took it. I don't know. But I would have took advantage of that situation. They let me on this plane. You know, left off the plane and didn't check. They didn't see me back here drinking this damn Jack Daniels and know that I passed out and left me here. Well, you know what? I'm going to take advantage. Let me see what they got on the snack bar. I'm going to the snack bar or going to the bar. I'm going to have some little miniature bottles of drink. I'm going to have my fill. It's cold on the plane. I need a drink. I'm going to help myself. And when you motherfuckers find me in the morning, I got a blanket wrapped around me and I got some bottles of Jack Daniels laying beside me. It is I, Lee Zellers. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Hope wherever you at, whatever time of day, if it's morning, noon, evening, night, midnight, you enjoyed today's show. Be safe. Take care of each other. You see a person with the MAGA hat on, just look at them and just say, the fuck. Don't pay them much attention. I will catch you on the next one. I'm out.
Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.